Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right.
Brand name like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it, I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is when you chop my dope down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, and then you call it Blue Magic, that is trademark infringement. You understand what I'm saying?
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, D. Scott. It is September 15th, Tell the Truth Tuesday, and I have a whole lot of things to be telling the truth about. So I'm going to go ahead and start with what happened today with my little one, because I have a son. So he's 11, and, you know, I don't know if y'all know, he's 5'2", weighs 140 pounds, 150 pounds. You know, he's in the sixth grade, he's 11 years old, and I always have to remember that, you know, right around that age is when I started, you know, kind of feeling some kind of way about boys and being, you know, like trying to get dressed and look cute to go to school, right around seventh and eighth grade, because I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend until I was 16, so, you know, but what ended up happening is he came to me first day of school and was like, you know, Mom, I got the juice right now. This girl, you know, remain nameless. She likes me and she came and she told me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, what are y'all going to do? And he's like, I'm like, 'cause you can't date, you're not allowed. And he's like, oh, nothing. I'm like, well, if y'all want to go like on a play date where, you know, she comes to dinner with us or she comes over here, or either way, you know, we could do that. And he's like, no, Mom, I don't want that. I'm like, okay. So he has a best friend. You know, my son's an only child. And so he has a best friend. And, you know, they've been, I mean, this is a kid that's come on vacation with us. He's, you know what I mean? He's been at our house. He goes to my son's birthday parties. You know, he's, you know, like one of the family. And today my boom comes in and he says, Mom, you know, today was a difficult day. And I'm like, what happened? And he says, well, my best friend came to me and told me that him and the girl that I like, they was boyfriend and girlfriend. And the first thing I said was, fuck that bitch. And, you know, as a parent, I know that's wrong because these are children. But at the same time, like, a lot of people don't understand that, like, these, you know, premature and early, you know, pseudo-relationships that children have are what shape them and mold them and how they see their parents have relationships and how they see their parents have friendships shape and mold them as adults. And the first thing I'm thinking is, like, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with you because you're 11 years old and we shouldn't even be worried about this. And he goes, but Mom, my feelings. And I said, what the hell are you talking about? You don't have any feelings. Like, there are no feelings, you know. And I said, at the end of the day, you know, you should be holding your friend more accountable because he's the one that owed you that little bit of loyalty. She didn't owe you anything. And he says, yeah, I get it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, wanting a Lamborghini and then, you know, just because I want the Lamborghini, if somebody goes and buys it, then I can't be mad. I said, exactly. You weren't in a position to do anything. I said, you know, these things happen. This is not the love of your life. You're not 25 years old. It's not like, you know, I said, but I would kind of, you know, be cautious about the friendship situation as well as the girl situation and just kind of focus back in on yourself, you know. And he's just getting to that age where he's starting to be attracted to certain types of girls and to certain types of things. And as a parent, I would prefer my son to come to me than to, you know, not say anything. And then I'm thinking that I have a certain type of child and I don't, you know. And I remember, like I said, being in the seventh grade, you know, having a crush on this kid in, you know, junior high school, and that was, like, a really big deal. Like, I would get my clothes on every day. I would comb my hair every day because the only place that I could see him was in school, you know, and vice versa. These are things that, you know, children shouldn't worry about, but I guess part of their self-image and who they grow up to be. And I said, but, you know, if your friend is doing stuff like that, and he says to my son, he says, hey, you know, don't be mad at me, don't punch me in the face, but we've been talking on the side. And I'm thinking, how the hell are they dating? And they're 11 goddamn years old. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just so dumbfounded by that part. But I guess they were talking on the phone, and, you know, so the friend knew, because he knew to come to my son and say, hey, don't be mad, don't hit me, which my son would never, because he's not allowed to, you know, place hands on people, you know, unless he's authorized, which that's in an extreme case where, you know, he was being bullied or whatever. And even then, you know, we handle things differently in my family. So, you know, it was a valuable lesson that he needed to learn, as far as, like my mom used to tell me, you know, not everybody's going to be your friend. You know, I've been fortunate enough to have some of my friendships span over 30 years, three decades. And I was unfortunate enough to have two friendships not last. They lasted about 20, 25 years, but were cut short. Because you realize not everybody's your friend, you know, and it doesn't have anything to do with. My thing is this: I don't give a damn if I dated them in junior high school. I don't care if we're 172 years old. They're off limits, because it just, it's bad. It's in poor taste, you know what I mean? And it makes it look like, oh, so let me get this straight. The entire time I was dating this person, you secretly maybe wanted to get at him, and I just don't need that time. And that's been done to me in real life in my 20s. You know, I write about it in my book, Stay in Your Lane, A Diary of a Hot Mess, available on Amazon and Kindle, as well as on my website, www.stayinyourlane123.com. And, I dated this one guy, was engaged to him, and I actually moved away and was going to school. We kept in contact, and sometimes we would, you know, deal with each other when I came home, but not too much. And I barely spoke to him when I left. And my one girlfriend, my Asian girlfriend, she would always be like, oh, yeah, I ran into Matt Caravana. What the hell are you talking about? We live in upstate New York, so you're an hour and a half away. There's 30,000 people in downtown Toronto, and you just so happened to run into him as your car was being towed. Then she's running into him at certain clubs, and I know him. He's sitting in VIP, so, you know, you had to have found a way to make your way over there. And so long story short, he actually told on her and was like, are you going to tell her, or you want me to tell her, you know? And so, you know, women's intuition, I kind of knew, but I really didn't give a fuck because I was living somewhere else. I had moved on with my life, but it still doesn't erase the fact, like, motherfucker, you were supposed to be my friend. Like, you should have. And the funny thing is, I don't even think that it was him. I think that it was her. And, you know, so these are tough lessons to learn, you know, or when you tell people things, you know, my son hasn't gone through the he say, she say bullshit yet, where it's you think you're telling someone a secret and it's not a secret anymore. You know, and now these kids got Snapchat and they got, you know, everything else to prove. And I'm exhausted. Now, let me get you into the mental health part. So I'm going to be honest, it is Tell the Truth Tuesday, and I've been very vocal about the fact that, and I never talk about anything being a mom because I have a pretty brilliant, pretty good kid, but I just wanted to share that because I think that a lot of people think that my relationship with my son is perfect and that my son is perfect, and he's just like all other kids. He's trying to find his way. He's, you know, obviously I've, you know, went and got his favorite dinner tonight. He wanted some Chinese food. We're going shopping this weekend. You know, the only way to get over a situation like that is to do better, to look better, and just to be better. And, you know, you have to keep your friendship with the male, with the boy, because it doesn't mean it's your best friend. It just means you keep the friendship, because you can't let a woman separate, you know, you from your friends. It's not like they're going to get married. They're not even going to go to the prom together. We could put money on that. So you know, my situation, I think, I'm so exhausted. So I try to be pretty honest about my journey in mental illness land. And it's no secret that I have severe, severe post-traumatic stress disorder. My homes are like fortresses. I don't, you know, I don't really go out too much. And when I do, I'm with my squad. And if I'm not, I don't go to VIP just because I'm being an asshole. I go there because I know there's security and I know that there's a certain level of, you know, protection there. So, and I don't go to clubs really. I go to events, you know, like we have Toronto Film Festival. I'll be up there this weekend. So I am, you know, I felt when my son was gone from me, when he was with his dad for a couple of weeks, that was the first time I had been separated from my child ever. For longer than a couple of days, you know, in and out of town here and there. So I thought that I was going to be able to get these two books done. And because once I start writing, I can finish a book in 3 days if I wanted to, from start to finish, from scratch, just based off memory, because I do write nonfiction. But even in a ghostwriting situation, from start to finish, I've been known to be done in 3 weeks, editing everything. So that's my record. That's my fastest record. And that's what they pay me for. So, as they say, the big bucks. So, I started feeling like I was overwhelmed, but I couldn't get out of bed. I would sleep. And it's funny because some people think that depression is crying. Like, I don't have shit to cry about. I don't have shit to be depressed about. I don't have shit to be unhappy about. It's just, you know, I keep having issue, you know, traumatic issues that happen. And then what happens is I'll go and I'll start 3 businesses and I'll write 4 books in a year and I'll, you know, do all these things. And then another trauma hits. And then because I didn't deal with that trauma, then that adds up to something else. So I've always been actively in therapy, which I'm very proud of that. Both of my therapist and my psychiatrist moved on. So I got new therapist, new psychiatrist. And so initially on my initial visit, I am against, oh, I'm so tired. Excuse me, y'all. And I'm over here. This is my first sip of wine of the day. It's a Pinot Noir, of course, for today. It's still got a little bit of a berry taste to it, so it's still a little warm out. But so I've been actively in therapy just to get out the trauma, you know, and to be able to talk about it, because that's what keeps me from having anxiety attacks and things like that. And so I'm on the elevator a couple of weeks ago and to go to therapy. I just, you know, got a new therapist and everything's fine. I had already spoke to the psychiatrist. I'm like, I don't want to be on medication. I don't, you know, I don't need it, you know, whatever. I am in the middle of my 4th nervous breakdown, but I'm good. And he's like, you know what, no problem. And that's what you feel, you know, cool. Because you can't always listen to what these fucking doctors say. You know, if you feel like you need help, you should go get it. If you don't feel like you need to take a specific pill, because, I mean, it's your brain, you know what I mean, then don't take it anymore. Unless you are schizophrenic. That is completely fucking different. Unless you are clinically depressed to the point where, you know, you are crying and you're having suicidal ideation, that's different. My issue is lack of motivation. So depression shows in me in anger and you know, short fuse and lack of motivation. So I'm in the elevator to go to the therapist, and this girl comes in the elevator and she says, you know, hey, you know, what's good, Denise? You know, how's your mom? And I'm like, what? It was like the worst. Like, I felt like I was being punked. I'm in an elevator, for God's sake. So what am I supposed to tell you? Like, motherfucker, my mom been dead for 2 years now. Like, you know, and so I looked at her and I said, well, you know, my mom died 2 years ago. And, you know, my mom, it was well known, you know, throughout the city. And the girl, like, starts breaking down. So now I'm like, shit. You know what I mean? Like, and it was the same thing when I would go see my grandmother. You know, she would look at me and she would be like, Sherry, is that you? And I'm like, no, it's Denise. You know, and then she was like, something happened to Sherry, didn't it? Sherry's gone. So it was like reliving my mom's death every time I would go see, you know, my grandmother, because, she, you know, she was suffering with dementia before she passed. So she just passed recently. My mom died 2 years ago. My grandfather died right before her. You know, her brother, my Uncle Kenny, died right before that. So, you know, there's been a lot of that going on. And so I kind of try to stay out of relationships because I don't think it's fair. Just like, you know, I don't want no man bringing me his financial baggage or your baby's mama baggage. I don't think it's fair for me to bring my mental baggage into the picture unless you can fucking handle it. So Like, for example, I was just talking to this guy the other day, and I'm like, so cool, you think I'm cute. So what's your mental illness? Because like attracts like. So you couldn't possibly think that I was attractive, just visibly, knowing how I speak, and not have some sort of something the fuck wrong with you, too. So I'm usually always happy when they can disclose to me what their fucking mental illness is so that we could decide if, you know, two PTSD people or two psycho-paranoid people should be together in the long run. So I'm on the elevator, and this girl's breaking down, and now I'm in a position where I have to comfort her because she didn't know my mom passed, and she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And now I'm like, that's it. I'm done, you know, so I get into therapy, I break down, and I'm not a big crybaby. I'm a brat, you know, real spoiled, like if I don't get my way, shit gotta get shut down, but as far as like a crybaby, not so much. So I'll just go into my little hole, and so I freaked out, you know, and I was like, I need help, you know, my son's not here, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, unraveling, and I, you know, and not a loss of control, but just like I can't get shit together, you know, and time is money. So I made the appointment to go get on some medication that would alter my mood so that pretty much a SSRI, which is selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. There's also MAOIs, which are monooxidized. I can't think of the government name of it, but MAOI inhibitor. So, you know, and when you first start taking these medications, this is something that I took 10 years ago when I first was getting my divorce, well, actually 8 years ago. And they typically prescribe to you also Xanax because you will have heart palpitation, panic attack type situation. So I didn't want the Xanax. And I know there's a lot of people that think that it has street value. Xanax does not. I don't like Xanax. I don't like to be down. So I've been taking the medication for a week. First week, you could tell literally within the first couple of days, I was more motivated. I was able to do what I wanted to do. So then the dosage required me to start taking two pills a day. And here's what's fucked up. So I'm taking them, and I can't sleep. It feels like I'm on speed. You know, I'm and I take them at night because I, you know, I stay up all night and I work. And then I go to bed in the morning after my son goes to school. And I actually just looked at the bottle today, and I was like, what a dummy I am. No wonder this shit isn't working, because I will change the dosage on my shit and tell the doctor, like, hey, that's too much for me. I don't even take an aspirin. If I'm, you know, in pain, I'll try to do all the homeopathic and natural remedies, headache, all that shit. I don't suffer from any of that stuff. I try to keep myself pretty healthy. And so I go and read the bottle, and sure enough, I was taking two pills a day a week in advance. I shouldn't have been taking them. So now I feel much better about that. But I still don't think that I'm going to double up on the dosage when the 2 weeks comes to a close, because I don't think that the severity of my PTSD, which leads to anxiety and depression, is that bad. You know, I'm not in a place where everything is woe is me, and that's not always what depression is. You know, it's not always me wearing all black. It's not always me listening to Tupac or to, you know, Jay-Z or Biggie to try to pull myself out of a slump. I honestly don't have shit to be sad about. So I'm not sad. It's just that a lot of people keep forgetting that your body and your brain needs to heal from certain things as well. So when you see certain things like, you know, the fact that my mother was actually in the house and I was asleep in the bedroom next to her, I brought my son to school that day, and she was gone the whole day. I just thought she was sleeping. You know, the fact that I was on the phone with a friend of mine who was no longer my friend, and my stepdad came home, checked on her, and then, you know, came downstairs and was like, what's going on with your mom? And I'm like, what do you mean? And, you know, that particular person is no longer my friend, and the relationship that I had with a person at that time that is also no longer, because he wasn't about shit. And also, I'm not going to say, because I don't feel like anybody ever takes advantage of me, because I think I'm smarter than that. But I feel like had I been in my right mind, this particular relationship wouldn't have been rekindled. You know what I mean? And which is part of the reason why him and I have not spoken in 2 years. See, I'm the type of motherfucker, like, we stop talking, like, that's it. We don't have shit to say. It's done. Especially if you cheat. You know what I mean? Especially if you lie and there's no reason for all that. That's how you get your house burnt down. So, you know, a lot of that stuff just builds up, and you could just, it's, for me, it feels like a bag of bricks. you know, it feels like I'm carrying a goddamn Louis Vuitton or a Chanel bag full of bricks. And it just, each trauma, each thing that happens just gets weighed down, weighed down, weighed down. And so then it just gets to a point where I'm just tired, you know. And so I realized that I needed help, and that's why I try to advocate for people. Like, I don't diagnose anybody at all. You know, I'm not a doctor. That's not what I do. I did go to school for psych, neuroscience, and all that other stuff. And shout out to the people that are calling themselves doctor now, and you're not a fucking doctor. Like, that's illegal. You can't do that. You don't have an honorary doctorate from anywhere. Like, I don't give a fuck if you're a doctorate student. Don't call yourself a fucking doctor, and you're not really a doctor. Okay. So, you know, I don't profess to know everything about mental illness, but I feel like, you know, if people see more people like me or more people in the public eye coming forward and saying, yeah, I'm in therapy, or yeah, I have to take medication to stabilize my mood because sometimes, you know, I'm unable to get up and function during the day, or, you know, yeah, sometimes I experience anxiety and depression, which I don't experience anxiety anymore, which is a lot of people don't understand that's where zero fucks came from. Because when I stopped giving a fuck about everything, just like on some more, like whatever, fuck everything, get money. You know what I mean? When I started doing that, it really didn't matter to me what people thought about me, what I looked like to other people, what my past was like. It didn't matter. I disclaimer all my shit up front. I heard that you did this shit. I probably did. I probably did step. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I heard you did this. Yeah, I probably did. But what I always tell people is, what did that motherfucker do that warranted me to do that? Because I didn't just wake up and go, you know, stab somebody. I didn't just wake up and choke somebody out with a phone cord. I didn't just wake up, you know what I mean, and my mom was sick. You know, this was something that went on and on and on for years. So, you know, that's me. That's my Tell the Truth Tuesday. That's my struggle. I know that you guys listen. I know that some of y'all are still a little bit afraid to call in and share your stories, even though it's anonymous. I can see the numbers, but I can't. I don't know, you know, who it is, and knowing name doesn't come up. But, for the most part, you know, hopefully me coming forward and making it commonplace to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder or depression or anxiety, or, you know, people that are going through it with suicidal tendencies, which, let me pause you right there, that's not my thing. I'm too vain, and I have too much faith to even ever think about harming myself. You know, I would harm you before I would harm myself, you know, and that's part of, you know, the ideations that you have to be careful of. So, I'm going to end the show on that note. I definitely look forward to be working with Asha Terry with the Collective Advocates. She, you know, is the agency that I was working with out of Brooklyn that I did a YouTube series on called Do You Like My Shoes? We were against sex trafficking in minors, especially young women, young men. And that was a competition that was held 2 years ago. I actually won it, rocked it. And got a little bit of exposure from that. So I'm always happy to help other minorities spread the word about mental illness and anything that has to do with mental health. But I spoke yesterday about the fact that yesterday was Nas as well as Amy Winehouse, would have been her 32nd birthday. Here is my other song, and you can hear the hint of Nas on it, In My Bed. We'll talk to y'all next week. That, and I'm out.
Wish I could stay and break my heart like you did in the beginning. It's not that we grew apart, a nightingale no longer singing. It's something I know you can do. Separate sex with emotion. Different ways, a different way from where I'm going. Oh, it's you again.
from me.